Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Back with beers and business.
Yo, what's up?
Tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
How you going, homie?
Yo, what up? Do you like my new hat?
I think it's cool. Good. I actually think it's really cool. And I didn't just say that. So
it's good hat.
Yes.
It's very, I could totally see on a tractor.
It's a tractor hat, isn't it?
It is.
It is kind of an American hat.
It's a bit of like cross between motocross.
Well, it's an
tractor.
Indian hat, just so people don't know.
Indian motorcycle.
It's an Indian motor. It's not a bloody Indian hat. That's not what I'm saying. My God. Idiot.
Okay. Can someone just call the lawyers?
Yeah. Stupid bloody woman. What the fuck? Anyway.
I like the muted colors. It's sort of washed out a bit. I like it.
I've never been a wine person.
You look like an idiot now with your hat and your headphones on. I'm just going to say.
Like, I look like a proper podcaster.
No.
Yeah. You look like a DJ from a country music western station. That's what it looks like.
I wouldn't know anything about country music, but people from California know a lot about it. That's why Mike knows a lot about it.
There you go.
Anyway, shall we roll on?
So let's talk about business. What are we going to talk about? I think you've had a few people talking to you about some stuff and you wanted just to bring...
I should fucking hope so.
That
he
up.
He runs the
That's what he does.
What we do. You've had a couple of people, Mike.
I mean, let's be real. The only thing you ever see Mike do is talking to people.
Yeah.
When he's not talking to people, you think, what's he actually going... What's he doing?
What's he doing
he's
today?
He's talking to people a lot.
He's not watering his plants. I can tell you what. I have to go and water his
plants. You have
today,
issue with people not watering plants.
He has that plant there. He never waters it. And then last week he told me it was plastic.
Yeah, because the water was pouring out of the top of it, man. You kept pouring it.
Oh, my goodness. Anywho, what are we talking about, Mike? What did you want to talk about today?
Look, I think with the great resignation that's kind of going on right now, you get a lot of people that are thinking about getting into business. Mm. And, you know, what I wanted to talk about today is about kind of value, a spiritual value and like a business value. And like I was talking to a person the other day and they wanted to get in. They're like, oh, look, I'm thinking of starting a business and I want to be a coach. And I said, okay, great. Like, what are you going to coach on? Because like being a coach is not a business, right? A coach has to have a functional objective. We've talked about this before. And she's like, oh, I don't know. I just like really love people. And, you know, I care about them and I do so much for them. Mm. I just want to help. Mm. And to me, that's spiritual value. Like I could really see that in the person. I could see that, you know, that spiritual value, that love of people, that love bug within her that really would probably go to the ends of the earth for somebody else. But I had to explain, like, while that's spiritual value, that's not economic value. And a business has got to be based on economic value. There's got to be a return on the investment that the person's making the other end, whether it be a functional objective, an emotional objective. But there's got to be a return on that. If you're just looking for somebody that's going to care and love and take care of you, I mean, you can get that from your parents for free in some cases, some people not. But it's like there's not necessarily an economic value point in that conversation. And so when we're getting started in business, we really do have to figure out what is the economic value of that business. You know, I see often even with people that get into business is they're talking about the, that really soft outside outer vision. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a hardcore functional version of this business as well. The person that shows up the door didn't show up for your process, didn't show up for the fact that you're fun. They showed up because they want to get in shape, or they showed up because they want to fix their cash flow, or they showed up depending on the type of business you want. So what is that economic value? There is a difference.
So how does somebody find the economic value? Like if somebody's thinking that they've got a business and they obviously the spiritual value is what you love and the fact that it gives you something and you feel like alive and inspired because you'll be able to, you know, present this to the world or whatever. How do you turn that into an economic value, but how do you find the economic value?
But also, excuse me, that's not a business. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not a business. And wanting to be able to help someone is not a business.
No, I understand. But that's how people start, right? So then where's the economic value? How do you know whether it has economic value?
Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I see it is business is business. Does that make sense? What you have as a product that you want to be able to bring,
or a service,
that you want to be able to bring to the world, and you have to handle the business end. You have to be able to handle the business end of that, because a lot of the time, I think what you're saying, Mike, is people want to bring something to the world, which is fantastic. We all want to do that, though, but not everybody wants to do a true business, right? And people, if you want to get into business, you have to be able to handle the business end of business. And it's not just about delivering a product. It's not just about saying, I want to go and help someone. If you want to go and help someone, then go and work for a charity and jump into a country where they need service and deliver that way. Sometimes what happens is those sorts of coaching ideas, as I've seen over time, come about as a result sometimes of and I'm just using coaching for the example, but someone coming along and, you know, having helping someone, or having someone come and help them, their aunt comes and helps them, you know, and they're like a little lost. I don't know what to do. I want to leave this job, but I just want to help people. And the aunt goes, well, you know, you could become a coach, you know, that's, you know, you could help people that way. And people go, oh, that's a fucking great idea. I could become a coach. But if you look at a coach for the Lakers, or if you look at a coach for, you know, a footy team, those guys are, you know, they're the business end of business. You know, they're not just, you know, they you have to be able to understand that there is a business end of delivering whatever you love to the world.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah. How do you know that?
So
how do you find that? Like, how do you find that it does have economic value?
So
what process do you go through?
I think, and here's the thing, it takes a bit of work for this. Like, it's not just you wake up one day and you can do this. And I think you start off, you have interests. Everybody has interests. And some of those interests you become passionate about, right? And what passion does for us, and I'm just going to be clear, just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean anybody's ever going to pay you for
it. Yeah, nobody buys passion. Yeah.
But what passion does do for us is it gets us through that trial where we're not very good at it.
Mm.
So we're interested in, we want to be good at it, but we always start off not being good at it. And passion gets us through that period where we keep doing it because we love it, and then we become capable. And we become skilled in that area. Now, some of those skills will be valuable to other people.
Uh-huh.
Right? So some of those skills become valuable to other people, in which case we can now be paid for those things, still don't have a business.
Mm-hmm.
Your business comes when that skill could become either more valuable to a number of people. So it becomes valuable to the marketplace. It's not just an individual that needs a skill anymore. It's a bigger outcome that more people need.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, you can develop a business. I think what happens for a lot of people is they get into this and they haven't developed the skill side of it. So they don't know what the deliverable is. Like when you're talking about the sport coach, and like a sport coach is a good example because people don't look at that as a business.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys that actually get paid top dollar to coach teams, they're skilled at delivering a result.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They might be skilled at special teams. They might be skilled at, you know, getting a team through the startup or the rebuild phase. They might be skilled at winning the championship at the end and developing the systems. But they're beyond skill at that point in time. They can do it. They can build a system.
Yeah,
that gets a bigger result. And it can do it. They can do it for multiple people. Like they could, you know, take the next team and do it again, and the next team and do it again. Those are the coaches that last. Those are the ones that can probably make a career out of it.
Yeah, and I suppose they add value to a player. You know, a player becomes valuable based on the coach that they've had. You know, so they're able to see value in the player. You know, when someone comes in, scouts come in looking for them. They're able to negotiate and handle those things. They know who to get rid of, who to keep, what's going to get the cup to the team. They know what isn't.
Yeah, I think, and that's like a key point, right? Like if you're an unskilled coach, you get a valuable player and you just kind of rest in your laurels on that team. But a really good coach, somebody who's skilled that's going to last, knows how to build the system around that player that allows that player to maximize their talent.
Mm.
And I mean, that's really a business.
So could I you know, when I get in, one of the reasons years ago when I first saw a product that I thought, fuck, that is deliverable and it's good and it's very unique and people will pay for that, you know, because it's quick and it's fast and it gives them an immediate release, it gives them an immediate experience, and that with the proper structure around it is very deliverable. And what I found was that I there were limits to my ability to be able to deliver that. And then I obviously had to bring people in and create a team that helped me to do it better. But I really, you know, I think that an important thing is is if you have something and you love it, you've got to be able to tweak it to make it unique, and that gives it some value to people. Would you agree?
Yeah. But before you
and I know you want, I know you want to get to determining what you.
Well, I still haven't. It. It's still not clear to me because I'm like the I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just like, how do you define that? Like, what you do, like, and I'm saying you. I mean, we do it now, but when you first started, you had an idea, and that idea wasn't economic. Oh, that's really good.
It's my dad.
That idea wasn't an economic thing. It didn't have economic value at that time, perhaps, because you were trying to help people. You had a spiritual value in what he was trying to do, right? So what makes it from this idea that you can help somebody and you can help them move or shift or whatever that has spiritual value, how do we know now that that has a business and an economic value? What process do I need to...
So are you talking about determining what the value is?
No, okay. I'm saying because a lot of stuff has spiritual value and therefore, like when we talk about business...
Spiritual value is not something you work for, right? It's something through grace we all get.
It's intrinsic, yes.
Like, you know, you can... be in any station of life, course. You have value to give spiritually.
Yes, but when you've got an idea and you're saying somebody's got this idea and they want to coach and it's, sure, it's a great idea in the sense that you want to help people, but that's not a business, and I agree with that.
So there
but then what's the point where it can turn into that?
So based on that, right, there is a point where that crossed over, and you kind of mentioned it, is when Mitch could stop seeing it as valuable to him and he could start seeing it as valuable to others, and he knew how he would get that result. It's like, I can see how if I do this and this and this, I can create that result for others, and I can see why they would find that valuable because there's nothing else in the marketplace that currently does that.
Mm-hmm. So and it means it had to be unique?
Had to be unique.
It had to be reproducible.
Yes,
like so, in some ways. So it's not like can't be a once-off. It needed to be something he could do again and again and again.
It had to be something able to he it. Felt reasonably skilled that he could reproduce.
Right. And then it had to be systemized then in order to bring that to...
It doesn't necessarily have to be systemized. You can build it's not a great business, but you can build a business where it's just you kind of running your skill set across many people.
Right.
And you would scale that business based on just being able to see more people.
Right.
So the systemized is a way of making a better business, but it's not necessarily. But it's got to be valuable in terms of what I would be looking for more is like, what is the peak of this? Like, so is it like I deliver it once and nobody's going to be interested again?
Right.
If that's the case, then it's not a business.
So the person who's sitting there and wants to coach, mm-hmm. right, and they want to help people, if they don't have a way of getting that out to people, if they're just going to be one of millions of people in this pool of people that are coaching and they have nothing that sets them apart, and therefore as a result of that they have nothing that... the economic value means that they have nobody that would actually pay for their service, then they don't have a business. Or you said even if they do have one or two people paying for their service, that still doesn't mean they have a business.
It won't be consistent.
Right.
So, like if I'm having a conversation and that conversation makes Mitch feel slightly better, it's just a matter of time before he finds a better way in which to meet that need.
Right.
So I don't have a consistent business.
Right.
Same for businesses where what I'm producing is a one-off, like in the coaching industry, the common one is like, I'm going to help you quit smoking. Right. It's like, well, if I'm successful at that, then I lose a client. That's not a business.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like my success then talks me out of helping other people. And while I can produce income for a short period of time and I might make a vocation out of that, that will never really be a business because it doesn't repeat on itself.
Right. I think I get it.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's two things in when it comes for me in business. Just like if I go and buy a property, I see what I have to put out, but I see what I'm going to get back. And both things happen simultaneously.
I agree with that, definitely.
Right. So I have to see both things. But a lot of times people think they have the business because they see what they want to give out. They have value in what they want to give out.
Yes, yes,
but they don't see how it's coming back.
They don't see how it's coming
back. I can see
and
that
they don't
now.
Want to look at that because that brings up a whole heap of shit. you then have to start looking at your value. You have to start quite. This is why people put the cart before the horse. They go, "Oh, I can't take that to the world until, you know, I've got a degree in this, or I fucking built this team, or I've done." And it's no, that's not true. And so you have to be able to see both sides. If you're going to go into business, you've got to bring the fluffy and you've got to bring the ugly.
Well, I think I like that is a great way of saying economic value, because economic value is how it comes back.
Yeah. Mm.
Right. And I think what happens is you sit there, and that's usually what brings them to have the conversation with me. And they're like, I'm giving and I'm loving people. And I'm loving people. And I'm like, that's spiritual value. And it is by the way, spiritual value is 100% coming back. But it's not coming back as economic value.
Economic value, yeah.
Right. And so you are getting the return of being that amazing, beautiful, loving individual. But that doesn't mean it's a business. It doesn't mean it's economic. There's value in the marketplace. Like, you know, I see people that put their heart and soul and they work at, like, say, McDonald's, right? And why does McDonald's employee get paid? I don't know what it is currently, but minimum wage.
$19 an hour.
And then you get somebody that's in charge of hedge funds and they're making $1 billion a year. And it's like, because the value the guy in the hedge fund does gives so much value in return to the people that go to him. And it's so much harder to pick up that skill and learn that skill and know what to do in that area. He has more economic value. As people, both guys are probably, you know, beautiful equal souls value, and equal value. But in economic value, there is a difference.
Mm.
And I think that's what you've got to get. Like, when you're saying, hey, I'm just going to love and be, anybody is capable of doing that.
Yeah.
Anybody. And therefore, if there was, and I don't believe in this case there is economic value in it, but even if there was, it would be very minimal. It wouldn't be enough to support a business.
But one of the things I see, though, is that when people are doing that, they think, and they're like complaining because they're not getting back anything in exchange, they have an expectation on life to just pick up that side for them. It'll come to me, you know? Like, and they don't realize that, you know, the universe or life is not biased. It's not going to sit there and go, oh, I'm going to impose a crystal ball situation on you. You're giving value to the world. I'm going to bring you money. Well, no. You have to be able to design that side yourself. You have to take responsibility for that side, because it's supply and demand, right? You give spiritually. Everybody has a deep spiritual quest, but everybody has a deep physical quest. And your physical quest is to do it the exchange. If you're not clear about how it comes back to you, if you don't let life know how it's going to come back to you, and you don't have your personal value on how it's going to come back to you, it's still going to come back to you, but it's not going to come back to you in ways...
Not in the form you want.
Yeah. Not in the form you want. It can come back to you in ways of being ridiculed or slammed or put down or, you know, being broke. It can come back to you in any way at all. And it'll come back to you based on your own level of self-worth. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? If you don't go, I am giving value here, but I want value back. Like, you know, you hear people going, oh, there's just, you know, it's going to be a spiritual exchange in the universe. And it's like, that is not, well, in our, that, my that field, I used
true,
to hear a lot of that.
Yeah, that is somewhat
It's
true.
Going to be a spiritual exchange, but if you are wanting a business, mm-hmm. you need it to be economic. It needs to, the economic exchange or the economic value is a mm-hmm. value that can't be questioned.
Yeah.
$10 equals $10 equals $10. It's not like this value, this massage meant this to me, but this meant this to me. Do you know what I mean?
And in fact, in business, it's $10 equals $9 equals $8, because over time it actually goes down. Mm-hmm. If you don't change and keep adding more value, it goes down over time.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, good point.
Yeah, the other thing I think people don't quite understand is while value is a universal construct in terms of energy, money is a man-made one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, money is an economic process. When you're putting out your spiritual value into the universe and expecting the universe is going to figure out how that translates into dollars for you, that's not going to happen, because the universe doesn't understand it.
Right.
It understands value, and it will return that value. There will always be an exchange of value. But in terms of a business, you have to determine how that constructs back into money.
Yeah.
Right. You still have to add the value. You still have to follow the laws and add the value. But in terms of how that return comes, that's got to be you, because the universe doesn't work in dollars and cents. That's us.
Totally. I see that with a lot of people, because a lot of people take great ideas to their deathbed. Right. And it feels like when you meet them and, you know, it's a fucking great idea. But I know your biggest challenge is going to be putting enough value on yourself to be able to stand in your worth and declare on paper what it is you want to receive and be able to handle the questions when people go, oh, can I get a discount? Or, oh, you know, could you do that for 50%? And being, you know, being able to stand in that and know the value that you bring to the world. So when you broadcast your value to the world, it seems that it's met, but in a way that's inspiring. It seems that it's met in a way that's inspiring. Does that make sense? But a lot of the time when people, the way I've seen it over time is people don't want to declare that value because it brings up so much questions of self-worth.
Of their self-worth,
so
yes.
They just fucking end up burying their dream.
Net,
you know, burying their
yeah.
business in the ground with them because they weren't, and they weren't able to actually say, this is what I want. Does
we
that
do
make
that
sense?
A lot with people, right? We get them and we ask them to come up and say, what's your business? What is it worth? How have you trained? What is it worth to you to be able to do what you do? What do you want to get paid in return?
And how have you translated,
that into a product or service? And people can't answer that question. It's very, very challenging because either they haven't been clear about the product or service or they're not clear about how it's going to come back to them. And either way, that's the issue.
Or they
right?
don't feel certain they could deliver that.
Yeah.
The amount of times I will, you know, I'll sit down and I'll go, they'll tell me, oh, I'm going to be a coach. And I go, okay, well, what kind of coach? And they go, I'm going to be a sales coach. And I go, okay, great. I'm like, what kind of result could you get for somebody? Oh, I'm really good. I'm like, but how do you know that? What kind of result could you get them? Well, I wouldn't want to commit to a result. I'm like, okay, what kind of promise could you give somebody else that you're pretty certain you can deliver on? Oh, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm like, so what you're telling me is you're not certain you're good at it. You feel like you're good at it. You'd like to be good at it, but you're not certain.
Mm.
Because if you were certain, you could tell me, I can get this result.
Mm.
Right? And it's the result that drives the value of the business,
yeah.
not the promise of showing up.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And, you know, money has never been equal to effort.
Yeah.
Money has only ever been equal to result.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, your lack of money is not a lack of effort, it's a lack of result, it's a lack of a skilled result.
You know, I remember listening to Bucky years ago and he said
Buckminster Fuller
he said the key to business is to give more and more with less and less, which is really
adding value
add more and more
principle
with less
ephemeralization
principle of ephemeralization to give as much as you can and it costs you as little as possible.
And well, I mean, that is the simplicity of business, right? You give as much as you can. You sell it at a price that's more than what it costs you to make it. And that's like, I mean, very simply, that's how business works. And then you drive that as much as possible so that you can continue to do it over time. People can take that advice. I can see where people could take that advice and get what you just said there totally wrong.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because it's intentional. It's like it has to
You have to take
be
the
aligned.
Example of like a big tech company. Like if you look at Apple, when you like the shit that thing can do, like you can ring call someone over the other side of the world from your wrist. that's just what the fuck.
You know who created that? No, like it wasn't Apple even. It was Skype.
Right.
Skype was the first company that went, we're going to create a telephone service that gets rid of these long distance charges.
Yeah.
And they were trying to think and they were sitting down going, how are we going to do it? We can't afford the infrastructure. And they were like, we'll just use everybody's computers. All these computers are connected.
Yeah.
We'll just use the data service that's already there. It's got the ability to deliver sound. It's got the ability to deliver video. And so what if we created a phone company that had no phone infrastructure? And Skype was born. Now, Skype, of course, isn't the thing. I don't even know if it exists still.
I don't know.
But it created a brand new industry. Why? Because somebody wanted to give more and spend less.
Yeah.
Right, and that was the principle. That's the Buckminster principle there.
Yeah,
but it's not. Hey, I'm going to give more and charge less, which is what I think most people try to do.
Yeah, I'm going to give more and charge less is death. You're fucking forget about it. It's over. Take yourself out the back and shoot yourself in the head. Because what it is like, talking about the phone. If you look at a wrist, an Apple wristwatch, the shit that thing can do, you know, and it's only like $500, which really is not a lot of money. You know, can you imagine them trying to do it 30 years ago, the size of the room, with the fucking technology in there to just try to have a convert? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To try to do
even half
the
size
of the
tower you had to have just to have to download a game. And like
exactly.
This game, that's all.
All the fans running. You know,
you are showing our age now. Like,
here you are, strapped to your wrist. That's strapped to your wrist. As you walk around.
Surely showing our age. I think that's a good place to end like before I become ancient. Oh my God, those big computers.
Have a good weekend, kids.
Okay, if you're looking to bulletproof your business, here at MJB Seminars, we have the tools and strategies to supercharge your profits and stop you from becoming one of the 97% of organisations that fail within their first 10 years.
So you can learn more about this truly unique system by liking and following us at MJB Seminars over on Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to Dorothy and the Dealer podcast so you never miss a business episode again.
Registrations for our business course are by application, and you can express your interest by emailing evolve@mjbseminars.com.au.